So when I was growing up in the church, we had church all day. And one of the things that happens is that the deacons would gather together, especially in the evening service when everyone's just eating lunch and everything and kind of roaming around, the deacons would get up and they'll start singing. And one of the most common songs they will sing will be "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." It goes something like this.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Hello, New Covenant family and friends. This is Patty McNewson, and I'm here to do the welcome for our online worship service this week. This is the last Sunday before Lent and also Transfiguration Sunday. Pastor Renee will be teaching on what sustained Jesus as he approached the days before his crucifixion. How did he make it when everyone turned against him? And much of that is the intimacy of his prayer relationship with the Father. I know that when many of us listen online to the service, we sit quietly as we look at our computers or our phones. But I challenge you to be physically involved with the worship service. And that could mean standing, raising your hands, singing out loud with the worship music, kneeling, weeping, laughing, being involved. I'm going to read from Mark 1, verses 9 through 12 from the New American Standard Bible Translation. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Immediately, the Spirit impelled him to go out to the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Welcome to the online service, and come, let us worship.
Glorify. Good morning. My name is Joyce Mass, and I've been invited to offer a prayer. Jesus committed to being a human in order to experience living like us, kept on walking with his friends to Jerusalem, knowing that he was called to die there and that his friends would leave him. And, like us, he was beloved by God, who faithfully sustained him during his journey. That was enough for him to carry out his task for us, his beloved family and friends. Will you pray with me? God, please help us, chosen to be your beloved family, to open ourselves to receive that love that supported Jesus as he prayed and experienced it at his baptism, death, and transfiguration, that we can be filled to overflowing and share this love with your family. Thank you. Amen.
I want Jesus to walk with me. Good morning. This is Vaughn Ortiz.
And this is Tim Clark.
We're reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, 28 through 35. Jesus said, "The human one must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the legal experts, and be killed and be raised on the third day." Jesus said to everyone, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them."
About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw his glory, as well as the two men with him.
As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good that we're here. We should construct three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them, and as they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe.
Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him."
When I go, don't cry for me. In my Father's arms I'll be. The wounds this world left on my soul will all be healed and I'll be whole. Sun and moon will be replaced with the light of Jesus' face.
Thank you. Hello, beloved of God. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio. It is good to be with you again, both virtually in this online service and in person. My time away was blessed with study and reading and writing, family, solitude and silence, and a very different kind of beauty from Central Illinois, of rocks and desert and mountains. Today, this last Sunday of ordinary time before Lent, we are invited to think about time and seasons, how we can put brackets around a period of time for a special observance. The Bible is full of examples of sanctifying time for rest, for feasts, for fasting, times to be alone, and times to be together. Jesus himself observed the rhythm of the Jewish calendar, which his parents began teaching him from the time of his baby dedication to their annual Passover journey to Jerusalem. He attended the local synagogue each Sabbath, went up to the temple for major feasts, celebrated one last Seder supper with his disciples before his crucifixion, and then sent the Holy Spirit on the Jewish holiday 50 days after Passover, known as Pentecost. As he was about to begin his formal ministry, after 30-odd years of preparation of family and work life in the backwater town of Nazareth, Jesus joined the crowds to be baptized by John, and then was compelled by the Spirit to go out to the wilderness for 40 days, a symbolic number of completion reflected in the 40 days of Lent. And so as we prepare together for this coming season, I hope we will open ourselves to the possibilities of designating this time as special, different, for the purpose of knowing Jesus better and walking more closely with him. Whether this is the first time you have heard of Lent, it is certainly not something I grew up with or embraced well into my adult years, or your family observed the Catholic tradition of foregoing meat each Friday, or you always give up something for Lent, I pray that you will experience a new invitation and that you will have the courage to say yes to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. For me, Lent has been a personal journey that I anticipate, like a gift from a creative and eccentric friend who knows me better than I know myself. In the days leading up to Ash Wednesday, I open myself to the unexpected, to hearing the still, small voice of the Spirit prompting me. Is there something I feel led to give up for 40 days, or add to my life, adjusting my daily routine to insert a new practice for this time? In high school, when I was first introduced to the concept of giving up something for Lent, I chose the difficult exercise of avoiding bread for 40 days, both because I am an Italian lover of carbohydrates, and as a nod to the preparation for Passover of cleaning out all leavening from one's life. Some years I have given up meat or chocolate or wine. One of the most difficult and surprising prompts one year was to give up a certain kind of habitual anger, a self-righteous irritation that I unknowingly cherished but was poisoning me in unexamined ways. More often, I have enjoyed adding something to my life during Lent. As I used to tell my youth group kids, this is not a time to dress up a diet as a spiritual practice, a kind of New Year's resolution to give up soda pop or lose weight. I don't think Lent is a self-improvement regime or a time to prove to ourselves or others our strength of will or stamina. Perhaps there is a time of life for that, but I don't think we should diminish the possibility of this special season by turning it into a spiritually cloaked exercise program. Adding something to our full lives inevitably means that we are also giving something up. One year, I painstakingly translated one psalm a day from Italian to English. Since I don't actually know Italian, that meant getting up early to spend a lot of time with the dictionary, slowing down to discover each psalm one word at a time. One year, I felt led to host each of the NCF pastors and their spouses for dinner during Lent. Another year, I incorporated the 5 Tibetan yoga practices into my days, repeating them as I silently recited a combination of the Shema and the Jesus Creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy soul, and all of thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And yes, I probably spoke it in some hodgepodge of the King James Version to fit the ritual of the practice. A few years after I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which we had kept quietly to ourselves while I internally processed and stabilized on medication, I realized that Lent was the time to share with the kids, with friends and colleagues, and with the church. That was difficult and emotional, but also freeing. Sometimes my Lenten journey has been very private, and other times uncomfortably public. While the preparation for Christmas during Advent feels communal, we loved lighting the candles as a family at dinner time, teaching the kids to do the Advent dance, and looking forward eagerly to each Sunday, Lent has been more personal, filled with possibilities for me as an individual on my walk with the Lord. But this year, I felt prompted to embrace a communal theme during Lent, an invitation to us as a community to experience together. Not that I'm going to tell you what to give up for 40 days or prescribe a practice for everyone to join. That would be very unlike the culture of New Covenant. Rather, I want to share with you an invitation to experience this time leading up to Easter in a new way, praying that we will individually and collectively become more like Jesus as we see him more clearly. The passage in Luke assigned from the lectionary for today is the classic preparation for Lent. After approximately 3 years of ministry to the crowds, teaching, healing, feeding, traveling all over Israel with his disciples, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. He began telling his disciples what would happen there, that instead of being crowned the new Messiah to deliver the Jews from Roman oppression, he would be killed by the empire. The political and religious elite will conspire to eliminate him as a traitor, a dangerous revolutionary. His friends and followers will abandon, deny, and betray him. In the 40 days of Lent, we journey with Jesus to Jerusalem, knowing what awaits him. During this time, we attempt to heed Jesus' instruction from today's reading, to say no to ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. We place our bet on giving our lives over to Jesus, that he will save our life if we relinquish it to him. This image of taking up our cross, denying ourselves, is what prompts the tradition of giving up something during Lent. In solidarity with Jesus, we enter the wilderness. We face our impending death. We relinquish something we hold dear to our life as a taste and symbol of giving up our whole lives. This is important and can be a healthy spiritual practice. And I ask you not to jump ahead to thinking about what you might give up. As I imagine traveling with Jesus toward Jerusalem, knowing what awaits him, I wonder what sustained him in the knowledge of the suffering to come. Not his disciples. They would betray, fall asleep, deny, and abandon him. Jesus had invested a lot in these friendships. Their desertion of him was not a reflection on his ability to be a good friend. Not the movement he had built, the work he had done teaching, feeding, and healing. The crowds are fickle in their allegiance. His legal execution by the state was not a measure of whether his work was high quality or effective. His success would lead to the loneliest moment of his life, as perhaps it does for many people. As Jesus sets his face toward his future, he dug deep into the love of the Father, centering down in prayer, hearing again the voice that calls him beloved, not for what he has done, nor for what he accomplished. All his work and his many close relationships won't save or sustain him. Instead, there are the words from the cloud, first at his baptism and then again at his transfiguration. These are powerful physical experiences, an audible voice, a visual image of a dove or of faces and clothing transformed to brilliance. And in between those two bookends are the many, many times he went away by himself to pray. It is his relationship with God as Abba, our Father, the knowledge that he is beloved and chosen, that sustains him in hope. This year, I feel that we too are called to really lean in to hear and know our identity as beloved and chosen by God. It isn't that we won't take up our cross or be asked to deny ourselves and give up our lives, but that in order to face the inevitable suffering ahead, we must trust the depth and breadth of God's love for us. Not at a superficial or intellectual level, but as a deep sense of identity. This is the part of Jesus's life that we are invited to experience with him this Lent. The longing of God to be in relationship with us, to know God's love as deeper than any parental or partner love we have experienced, more unconditional, more supportive, encouraging, delighted, steadfast, and abounding. How can that be, we might wonder? That is the mystery that invites us into this season. The mystery of being beloved before we ever accomplished anything. The mystery of being chosen before the beginning of time to be part of God's forever family. And so I want us to consider our experiences of being loved or of desiring love and the ways human love has failed us. This is a vulnerable contemplation, one that I encourage you to really take some time with. Think about it, pray about it, journal about it, walk it around a lake, sleep on it, draw or paint on it. Imagine Jesus at his baptism, the experience of being called beloved, the voice from the cloud, the manifestation of a dove. Imagine him at his transfiguration, consulting with the wisdom figures of the past, men who had long died and yet were very much alive and in conversation with him. Who are the figures of your past, the instruction givers and prophetic teachers who might encourage you on this journey? What glimpse of glory, the joy ahead that enabled Jesus to face the cross, might strengthen you for what lies ahead? I encourage you to set aside time this season, to devote yourself to experiencing God's love for you. Perhaps you might want to set an alarm for 30 minutes earlier, not to force yourself to get up in the morning, as we have all been challenged by many a preacher or youth group leader to do, but to retire to your bedroom sooner in the evening, or snuggle in a blanket away from the distraction of TV or the demands of computer or phone. Do you experience love through music, art, or dance? Perhaps you want to add a prayerful meditation or stretching yoga practice. Maybe you want to sanctify time with the lighting of a candle, or to massage your own tired feet while focusing on the scripture that blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, or connect with the blessing of water through a hot bath and remembrance of your own baptism. If you do not remember your baptism as a baby or have never been baptized and want to explore that possibility, Lent is a good time to consider the meaning of baptism and that next step of choosing to follow Jesus. As I recounted some of the widely varied experiences over the years of my own Lenten practices, I hope you will be open to a breadth of creative possibilities for you to experience God's love this season. There are many books and guides and resources available to assist you on this journey, as well as a wealth of human wisdom among this body of believers on which we can draw. Perhaps you'll be prompted to take the risk of reaching out to someone new or old and tap into the lived experience of our community. The possibilities are endless, and the first step is to begin setting aside time, making the experience of love this Lent a priority. In some ways, this requires more courage than giving up chocolate for 40 days. Love is vulnerable. Opening ourselves to receiving love is a vulnerable process, and it is in this love that we find our life. The voice from the cloud instructs us to listen to God's chosen one, Jesus the Son. He knows our humanity. He has experienced abandonment and suffering. He trusted the love of the Father, with whom he had spent much time apart in prayer, in order to know that love, to carry him when nothing else would. May we listen to the one who showed the depth of God's love for us, so that we might experience that love ourselves. And may we emerge from this time of preparation at Easter, knowing that we too are beloved by God, and that we too are chosen to be sisters and brothers of Jesus in this incredible family of God, fixing our eyes on the joy ahead, where Jesus awaits us. Amen.
Thank you.
Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. Christian journey soon be over. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh.
Please join me in our closing prayer. O God, as your Son drew apart to be in prayer with you, we seek your loving presence through setting apart time to be with you. Grant us, who have not seen and yet believe, the gift of your Holy Spirit, that we may boldly live the good news and shine with your transforming glory as people changed and changing through the redeeming presence of our Savior. Amen.
Together, make us a
Together, make us a shadow.